First, our weekly check-in with the political junkie, Ken Rudin. Be sure to find his podcast of the same name out there in podcast world. There is a lot going on here, Ken, this week and into next. So welcome. It's good to have you.
Good morning, Tom. Happy post-Labor Day.
And to you as well. We are now less than an hour from an expected announcement from Attorney General Jeff Sessions. It won't be an announcement from President Trump, but instead his Attorney General, about their plans for DACA, the Dreamers, the young immigrants who were brought to the United States as children. And the idea here is that it's not an immediate end to DACA, but a six-month punt of some sorts. What does this set up here in Washington with what we're expecting to hear from the administration?
Well, again, that's a very good point, Tom. What we're expecting to hear is not always what we do hear, but I think you're right that the general expectation is that Sessions will announce at 10 o'clock Central Time that it will be a six-month delay and basically, as you say, a punt to Congress. And now, this is interesting because back in 2010, when the DREAM Act, which is, of course, what DACA is from, when the DREAM Act was sent to Congress, it's the only eight Republicans in the House. Only three Republicans in the Senate voted for it. And now President Trump, by abdicating presidential leadership, is sending it to Congress basically to say that, okay, you have 6 months to decide. Now, of course, we know how good Congress has been on deciding health care and other initiatives put forward by the Trump administration. But Congress is going to have to decide what to do with, as you say, the 800,000 people who are here, brought here as children illegally, I guess, you know, by undocumented immigrants. And the thing is, the problem is that Congress would really rather not have to deal with it themselves. They were hoping for some kind of a signal from President Trump, especially in the wake of what we've seen in Houston and the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey, basically where so many DACA people who are benefiting from the DACA program have been doing so much heroic stuff, and of course. These are the kinds of people, let's face it, who will be part of the rebuilding of Houston. And so to send them back now, to deport them now, which would be incredibly inhumane, is not something that the president wanted to deal with.
And he tweeted this morning, Congress, get ready to do your job, DACA. That was it. That was a one of his shorter tweets, actually.
DACA Shane, right, exactly. I mean, the thing is that the president... Once again, you know, just like with the health care, I mean, he never really went before the American people and told them what they wanted other than repeal and replace. Now he's doing the same thing with the DACA program, saying, Congress, do your job. And again, just as President Obama 5 years ago did an executive order to have the DACA program, I mean, some people thought that maybe President Trump could do the same.
You know, there was a New York Times article noting that AIDS reported to the Times that he really was looking for a way out of this. Help me get out of this jam that I'm in with DACA, because we really heard some of the more heartfelt words I've heard from Donald Trump as president-elect were that I have a heart and that we're going to help these people. He had said that he was going to get rid of it during the campaign. So he had said two things about it at once there. Do you see this having a legislative outcome in the next 6 months?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we were convinced, I mean, so many people were convinced that there's no way that the Republicans in Congress, having promised to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, they've promised it for 9 years, and then to suddenly, you know, not come up with a plan at all, and it just seemed to go away. So you can say, how could the Congress abdicate its responsibility by not making a decision on these 800,000 people? But we've seen Congress, look, there are huge divisions in the Republican Party. And we saw that in the last couple of days, the 10 attorneys, state attorneys general, led by the attorney general in Texas, says this is unconstitutional. If you don't get rid of it, we're going to sue the federal government. And then you have other people like Speaker of the House Paul Ryan and the entire business community saying, one, this is inhumane, and two, we need these people. We desperately need their input for the economy, for the rebuilding, for the contributions they make to society, and to send them back, whatever that means, would just be the height of wrongdoing.
And by the way, DACA and the DREAM Act are different in that the DREAM Act, as we've heard it, would allow for a path to actual citizenship. DACA just has to do with work permits. It allows you to work and get Social Security numbers. So whether legislatively they just do DACA or go full steam with the DREAM Act, that's one of the many things to be determined.
That's absolutely right. And there are several issues, possible solutions before Congress. One is just to keep extending the work period, not cutting them back. And of course, if they join the military or have these kind of certain kind of jobs, they could apply or at least be on the path to citizenship. But there are a lot of Republicans who know that the vision of just saying that this program ends and thank you for all your hard work and now you're gone, that would be just not acceptable.
By the way, is this a false deadline? I mean, the attorneys general had written this letter saying we want you to act by September 5th, which is today. But they already have a lawsuit out there. So I don't exactly understand what the deadline is other than that this was in a letter that was sent earlier this summer.
There really is no deadlines, and that's what's strange about what we've been seeing from Congress all along and the Republican Party and the administration all along. The deadline that they had to pass health care by a certain date, I mean, that almost destroyed the House of Representatives when they said, okay, we're going to pass it by this day, and then Paul Ryan said, oh my goodness, we don't have the votes, and then that day just disappeared. So these are a lot of false deadlines. Of course, the 10 lawsuits by the 10 Republican states' attorney general was a deadline. But then if DACA disappeared, suddenly you would see Democratic state attorney general suing the federal government for the same thing, but then on the opposite side, and they could come up with their own deadlines.
Ken Rudin with us, the political junkie. It's also the day that Congress returns to Washington after their summer recess, and the headline on NPRnews.org is from an NPR story, 6 priorities Congress has to deal with in 12 days. They have 12 working days before the end of this month. 1, Ken, here's the list. Keep the government running. Fund the government. 2, avoided default. We have the debt ceiling issue coming up. 3, begin Hurricane Harvey relief efforts. There was an initial request for nearly $8 billion. 4, renew the National Flood Insurance Program. 5, renew children's health care. And 6, face the reality on healthcare because there are hearings starting on stabilizing the markets. That's a busy 12 days there, Ken.
Yeah, I think it's going to take me 12 days to explain everything. But here, but Tom, here's the point, though. Remember, not too long ago, President Trump said, you know, of course, they have to have a budget. They have to pass a budget to keep the government open. And President Trump had threatened to shut down the government if he doesn't get the money for the border wall between the U.S. and Mexico. And now the thought of shutting down the government when in the aftermath of Harvey, Texas and Louisiana and these troubled areas need the government more than ever. You don't shut down a government at a time like this. So I kind of think that goes away, too, when you talk about keeping the government open by passing a budget. In the original language of the budget, Republicans had, or at least Donald Trump had, $876 billion cut in FEMA. Now, of course, you're not going to keep that in. But again, these are some of the ideological things they put in the budget because this is what they believe in. And suddenly they realize reality gets in its way, just like with Senator Ted Cruz, who very conveniently voted against money for Hurricane Sandy back in 2012 because it was, you know, loaded with lard and extraneous stuff because, of course, it was going to New York and New Jersey. And now these same Republicans who voted against aid to Hurricane Sandy now say we desperately need tens of billions, if not more, in aid for in the aftermath of Harvey. So there is hypocrisy on both sides. There's a lot of that going on. But again, the government has to be funded. Whether the wall needs to be built is another thing. But all the predictions of the debt ceiling and what the priorities are really go out the window given the urgency and the immediacy of Hurricane Harvey, and I think the votes will come as early as this week.
Yeah, but isn't that the out for Congress to form all of this around a bill that provides money for Hurricane Harvey relief, wrap in the flood insurance program renewal, wrap in the debt ceiling, and wrap in at least a few months of government funding, and just put that all in one bill and challenge and tell Congress members, you vote against this, you're voting against the people of Texas?
Well, you know, something is, it's one thing, if you're a Republican lawmaker, it's one thing to vote against New York and New Jersey as they did in 2012, but it's another thing to vote against Texas because, you know, you don't mess with Texas, as people like to say. So it's absolutely true. A lot of these fiscal hawks, these conservative fiscal hawks, who really always say that every time you have an expenditure, it should be met by a corresponding cut in spending. And they're not, you know, they're going back on their ideological purity when it comes to things like this, but they should. I mean, look, I don't think we should be talking politics, but you know, hypocrisy is a very widely used thing in Congress, and I think it's good, it's important for us to point it out when it happens.
I guess the other way of asking what I was asking is, what are you hearing? Is it that it will be one or two really, really big bills that address all six of these things, or are they going to chop it up and have a bunch of votes?
No, I think it'll be a bunch of votes. As far as money for Harvey, that will be a standalone bill. And, of course, that's what they don't want it to be part of the debt ceiling. They don't want it to be part of the budget. They don't want, I mean, all the things that they have to do with the tax code and health care. We can talk about health care in a second. But I think the money for Harvey itself will be a standalone bill. But, of course, the budget deadline, the debt ceiling deadlines are coming up at the end of September, and those will be separate votes. But it's also interesting that when we're talking about building the wall and things like that, there are just too many Republicans who are just battling each other about what the priorities are, and they're just going to have to figure out what it is. But right now, I think the pressing need, of course, is the money for Texas and Louisiana.
Four hearings in the next 2 weeks. They start tomorrow on health care. It looks like there is some bipartisan agreement that a couple things have to happen to stabilize these health care markets. There's no indication as to how big that bill would be. It may only do a couple things, but what might we see on health care of all things this month?
Well, you're absolutely right. The priority is to stabilize the markets because then the whole system would collapse. And even though President Trump has said that, you know, the Democrats own this issue and let it collapse and then they'll come crying to us, I don't think that's palatable or workable. But there are two things that are not being mentioned. One, Robert Menendez, the Democratic senator from New Jersey, goes on trial this week. Opening arguments, I think, is Wednesday. If he's for a corruption trial. If he is convicted and replaced by a Republican, and we'll talk about the possibilities of that in a second, but if that happens, the Republicans do gain another seat, and they do, and of course they failed on repeal and replace by one vote, thanks to John McCain, a couple of weeks ago. So that's possible too. But my suspicion is that a real new vote on health care won't come until after the 2018 elections because by all accounts, or at least by most accounts, Republicans are expected to pick up seats in 2018, and certainly in the Senate. And if they do that, then they think maybe they'll have the votes to get rid of Obamacare once and for all and replace it by God knows what. But the Republicans will have the votes after 2018. So I suspect the real serious move to repeal and replace won't come until 2019.
And Menendez is in New Jersey. Chris Christie, there's an election in November for a new governor. So depending on the trial and when it goes and if there's appeals, if Menendez is out, when he's replaced, you know, if a Democrat wins that governor's race in the fall, et cetera, when he's replaced becomes part of the chess game.
Absolutely right. And that's the thing. First of all, one, by most expectations, the Democrats do regain the governorship of New Jersey in the November elections. And if that's the case, there'll be tremendous pressure by Democrats on Menendez that if he is found guilty, and there's no certainty of that either, but if he is found guilty, then he has to stay in office until at least, I think, January 19th. And then when the new governor comes in, then they can name a Democratic replacement. But if he resigns before then, it'll be a Chris Christie replacement and another Republican vote.
Ken Rudin, the political junkie, as always, thanks for the update. It's going to be a busy couple of weeks, and we will be checking in with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Thank you, Tom.
Coming up, we're going to talk about North Korea, and another note here, that DACA announcement expected at 10 o'clock this morning. We will revisit DACA during the 11 o'clock hour as well, when we know more about what the administration does in fact say.